Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
We say things that don't mean anything, but thanks for listening.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to We Say Things, episode 230. Suns fan here with Cinderin. Hello.
It's 230. That's right. Damn.
Unless I wrote it down wrong. Yep, that's right.
No, it is. I think. I don't know. When I was thinking about the outline last night, I was like, It's episode 227, right? So I've been stuck in a time loop, and it probably coincides with Path of Exile.
Oh.
This new league coming out. I think time has just stood still.
Yeah. You lead a tough life. Has anybody ever told you that before?
It flies when you're having fun, you know?
Yeah. It seems like your whole life is having fun.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I'm with that logic, I'm just going to die faster than anyone else, right?
Mm. So. Oh, I forgot to turn on my virtual camera. I guess we're not going to do that now, Cinder. I'm sorry. You don't get to see my mannerisms. Mm. As you can see, we are using the still new and improved. Most people liked the new and improved version of the podcast, so thank you. And to those that don't, fuck you. Just kidding. Keep your feedback coming. We can always make tweaks.
But on every video that you don't like it.
Oh, people are very petty. I've had issues in the past with, not issues, but stuff that's, let's say, happened where somebody will post something negative about something very specific from literally over 10 years ago. I'm like, my God, that's impressive, actually. It really is. But anywho, you can see the background here. I was trying to find something to show as like the base template as we get started with the podcast. Do you recognize this, Cinderin?
This background?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you describe it for everyone that's listening?
It's basically a tiled background that is the We Say Things horse just over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But not only that, it's also cursed because it's also kind of stuck in itself. It's mirrored and then it's behind. So the horse is tiled in the front and then in all the gaps in the back, it's mirrored and tiled in that direction as well.
That's right.
But the tiles in the back are twice as big.
That's pretty good. And what is this from?
This is a design for a mouse pad that we talked about 2 years ago.
That's right. I don't know what happened to that guy. Actually, he just stopped emailing. I sent this as a prototype. He's like, just never responded again. I don't know why. Would anybody want this as a mouse pad? I guess not. He'd know better than us.
The guy who sent us a free trial of one of his mouse pads to check and confirm the quality, and we were like, this is really good, and then he just never wrote again. So we just got a nice mouse pad.
That's right. It doesn't look like the horse, though, unfortunately.
I'm using this mouse pad since. It's really good.
I am too, actually. Shout out to that guy. You could have sponsored the podcast, but too late. Well, actually, not too late. We want the horses. Anywho, thank you to our beautiful patrons. As always, you can take the first half this time, Cinderin.
Oh, exciting. A little bit of a shakeup, shall we? Dear Suns fan, I've decided that I want to try to contribute somehow, even if as a volunteer, to the Dota community. I'll talk to...
Okay, we'll see the rest of the message next week, I'm sure.
STGC right now... Daniel, so he'll talk to STGC Daniel. I think they all come up with something together. Humble Bookmaker recommends Relic Arena. Wife heard Pyrion's belch, now divorced. Mr. I Love the NBA segment, Pepper Balls, T-Coil... Yatoro does it again, Cinderin. Wait, there's only one of them left.
Don't speak so
soon. Yes, because there's one left, or no, because the other guy stopped being a patron.
We don't want your money if your name Yatoro does it again, Cinderin.
I actually think the other person stopped being a patron because all the other names that come after are familiar. He had enough. He wanted to be the only one, but he couldn't do
Understandable.
It. Maybe they just duked it out, and this Yatoro does it again, Cinderin, won the battle. And the terms was that the loser had to stop being a patron.
Yeah. Unfortunate
Matt
for us.
Matt Dev, but... Disco Farm D, and the Mega Pope.
Thank you also to Zan Xavier, Nate Thicko 01, Hamscroats, Shark TM, Janie, Dop, Nothing to See Here, Way Sue Eve Remort.
That's just why you wanted to do the second half.
Ben Broomhead. Ben Broomhead loves the NBA segment with an aftertaste, anonymous, and tickling yourself is not possible because your brain predicts it and spoils the surprise, Mr. Niebling. That is true.
Oh,
thank
my
you.
Okay, the way you just pronounced the Yves Remort name, I'm pretty sure if you literally just... You going for some sort of pronunciation of that was worse than if you would have said it just the way it's spelled in American English.
In American English, this would be Jesuis.
That was closer...
It's not.
You
it's
just
not
said.
Like. Okay. What? Let me just guess what the pronunciation is. The actual, because I was doing a meme. I don't actually know. Is it like, yes, sui?
Yes.
Oh,
very good.
Would you look at that? Yes, sui e remo. I don't know. I don't have to.
Way closer than what you said earlier.
Jesuis Eve remort.
What was it you said first? West swat.
Whatever.
What was that? Oh, it's good. All right.
Okay.
Good job.
We can begin the podcast now, and I want to recommend something, I guess.
Okay.
I say I guess because I'm pretty sure I've done it in the past, but it's important that I talk about it again.
I'm ready for your fourth recommendation of Curb Your Enthusiasm right now.
Curb Your Enthusiasm, everybody. I did not realize, and it makes me really sad now, that this was the final season. I watched the last episode, Sindarin, and it's like an hour long, and like 10 minutes through, because based on some of the stuff they're doing, I'm like, wait a second, this, I feel like they're setting up for like the end of the end, because they kept referencing, and I did paid really good homage, I have to say. They paid homage to Seinfeld, which is obviously a show that he created. Jerry Seinfeld showed up for the last episode, and they basically reenacted the final episode in a way of Seinfeld, which it was very controversial. I know I'm very old and you probably don't even know this. You probably didn't even watch the show anyway because you don't watch anything. People that watched it was controversial because it wasn't as well received as a lot of the other episodes of the show. So they kind of remade it for Curb based on this entire season's arc. It was really good. And they changed it to be the way that they would have wanted Seinfeld to be if they could go back, which I thought was really fucking cool. But as you guys may or may not remember, I consider this legitimately to be the best comedy series ever made. It is so fucking good. I know Seinfeld is old at this point, but if you've seen Seinfeld and you like it and you haven't seen Curb, you would like this because the entire series is based off of Larry David, which is based off of George Costanza's character in Seinfeld, which was my favorite character on the show by far. Many people, and I'm sure it's usually used as an insult towards me, but I take it as a compliment. They tell me that I remind them of Larry David sometimes, and I'm very touched. But that's usually after I put my foot in my mouth in some social situation. So watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. Great show. Great final season. And then we get, Sindarin, to the story of the week on this man, this young man here. His name is Tyga. Ex-OG player. There were rumors for... How long would you say there's been rumors? Because I've been hearing about them for a long time, both internally and even on Reddit.
I mean, we talked about this on... We talked about this on some episode last year. I remember that at least. Mm. I want to say it's been over half a year by now that there's been like...
I thought it's been over a year, but you could be right. You might be right.
It might have been around a year that there's been rumors, but there was more of a, how to say, it kind of blew up. I think the time that we talked about it, this is why I remember the timeline the way I do, is that we talked about it on the podcast when he came out and made his statement about what had happened, right?
Mm.
And I think that was toward the end of last year, if I remember correctly.
So why don't you, since I'm going to be reading a bunch, why don't you sum up... what happened, and then I'll read the post that followed.
Yeah, so, okay, so it's been a while, but the way I remember this is that there was a lot of controversy, or there were a lot of claims being made that Tyga was throwing first bloods for betting reasons, And he, I think the TLDR at the time, if I remember correctly, was that he came out with a statement that he had indeed fallen into gambling and he had lost basically all of his money on betting over a relatively short period of time. But the way I remember it, he never... I'm certain, actually, he never admitted to doing anything shady with betting itself or with fixing matches or influencing results of games or whatnot. So
yeah.
He effectively just said, I've had, this has been absolutely terrible. I'm trying to reset my life, start anew. He retired from playing professionally. He then started playing a bit again somewhat recently with an NA team, I believe, Leviathan. Or maybe it's actually SA. Anyway, an American team. So it's been a little bit back and forth between him quitting completely. He's been doing a bit of streaming, and now he's playing some pro games again. And then, when did this post surface again? I think it was...
So, yeah, I've been hearing...
It was within the last week, obviously.
Yeah, I think pretty much a lot of people, not just me, but a lot of people have been hearing rumors about something that's about to come out in regards to this. Nobody knew the details. This post here on Reddit by Pretty Boy Gangsta... So if we're gonna be reading posts on Reddit from time to time, we should give the shout out where shout out is due here. You covered a good amount of it. And I remember there was a time where it was kind of vague. It wasn't specifically First Bloods. I mean, that was like the trigger moment, right? Where like, oh, what's going on with these First Bloods? But also just the idea that he's throwing in general, right? It was kind of vague. Like yeah. It wasn't as specific.
Yeah.
But now it's come out that he may have, in fact, done that, throwing First Bloods because he was he owed a lot of money and whatnot, got involved with the wrong people, let's say. And OG made an official statement saying, following rumors about Taiga in 2023, we immediately raised the concerns to ESL, PGL, and Valve, whilst also following guidance of legal counsel. The issue was cleared at the time due to insufficient evidence. Through legal representation, we ran an independent investigation interviewing any personnel or organizations related to the issue, as well as evaluating any accessible documentations or evidence. For this, we benched Taiga and maintained dialogue with respective TOs. During this process, still without clear evidence, we were required to re-add him to the roster to finish the DPC season. I remember that being a bit awkward. Or risk disqualification for using a stand-in for more than four series and being restricted from replacing Taiga. We maintain neutrality on the issue without substantial evidence to the contrary, being conscious of unsubstantiated claims on Taiga's reputation and career. OG will always stand for competitive integrity and condemn Taiga's actions and behavior in light of this evidence. And the evidence was presented by, I forget his name, but he's not...
Morph Designer.
And that I don't know much about him other than people think that he's pretty scummy as well, right? It doesn't mean that...
This is new to me. I don't know this.
Okay.
But that's... so I can't confirm or deny that. I haven't confirm really
he scums.
It's funny because my experience with the guy, I did like one piece of content with him at some tournament while I was talent. I think we did a game show or whatever. All the stuff that I've seen out of this guy is really high quality. So I don't know him in person, but his work is very good. And I am very likely to believe the stuff that he has compiled and found and investigated with this stuff, because just the overall, it just seems the overall stuff and the amount of effort he puts into his work, whether it's fun game shows or analytics or drama or whatnot, seems very, very high.
Okay.
So,
if I'm wrong, I apologize.
I keep him in high regard.
I just remember reading some, it could be fake news.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like, you know, it's a big scene. Everybody hates somebody, right?
True.
So,
it was Reddit that was saying it, so they hate a lot of people.
I mean, it could be a lot of things, but I'm not gonna defend the guy if it turns out he's a cunt. But I've only had good experience, and he seems very what's the word, passionate about what he does and about the game. So, but those two are not mutually exclusive.
So yeah, let's talk about this at face value. I don't know if this, you could call this, I mean, in terms of like throwing, when it comes to like actual hard evidence, I think that's pretty hard. to prove. But I think the way that they typically look at this, and the NBA is actually going through something right now with one of the players, actually, mm-hmm. where they make very obscure bets and a lot of money is placed on something that seems very random, and they make a lot of money, and it happens several times. So they kind of can put two and two together. Technically, right, these could be coincidences, but it's very unlikely. Not saying that that's 100% the case here, but in general, that's kind of how they look at it, because it is really hard to just find, like, hard evidence, like 100% without a doubt you were doing whatever. So let's, first of all, I don't think Tiger's made any announcement or any...
No, he hasn't responded to it as far as I know either.
Responded in any way whatsoever, probably talking to lawyers or whatever, which is probably the smart move. Let's say Valve looks into this and they find that he is guilty. We can just start with what you think the appropriate... Well, it's two discussions. What do you think Valve will do? And what do you think the appropriate response actually is? Or are they the same? Because this is not, I'm not saying that this is okay, but mm-hmm. we've had experiences where people throw games, entire games, and you get banned for life. This is feeding first bloods, which is impactful, of course. You should not be doing it, of course. Is it binary or is there a threshold? You know what I mean? Like, how does that work when Valve's...
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because Valve is probably, I would think, if I had to guess, is binary, right? It's either you
were
or you
weren't. Yeah, I think they're extremely binary on something like this. I mean, okay, you can't be extremely binary. Either you are or you're not. I think from their perspective, any tampering with the outcome of a game is a permaban. I'm pretty sure that is their stance on that. And like we've talked about many times before, I can respect that perspective, and I know a lot of people support it. As usual, I'm a pretty big proponent in second chances, and I don't know, like this is a lot more elaborate than some of the other cases because of how high profile the team is and the way in which it was conducted, right? And the story that surrounded it. So it has arguably got more attention than people that threw entire games, like you said, and influenced outcome of tournaments way more. Because to give you guys some context here, what has been put forward is people went digging a lot more through his clips of how he played the games, and it was tied with different parts of communication that they found with logs and whatnot. So they, like you said, they kind of put two and two together, and this seems... At this point, you know, at the time back then, I was very quick to defend Tyga and say, don't jump on him, and these accusations are obviously, like... I said from the beginning, if you're going to make really strong accusations like this, you need to have solid proof, or you're just damaging people's careers for nothing, right?
Yep.
And in this case, it seems like with all the stuff that's put forward now, it seems like it did happen and it was true. But I don't regret saying what I did, because I think that is the right order of business here, is if you are going to put players, like accuse them of the biggest thing, essentially one of the worst things you can do in this game, the proof just needs to be there, or it's just, what's the word? Is libel? Is that what it's called? One is libel and the other one is...
Fuck. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
The legal term for when you put someone in a bad light.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Someone in chat can tell us in a few
seconds.
How am
I blanking now? Sure. What the fuck?
Yeah. Slander.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, this proof is quite overwhelming. And the thing, if you go back and watch through some of the replays from the given tournament, Tyga is an exceptionally skilled player, right? And it's kind of, you can cut people some slack for fucking up once or whatever, but it's the consistent pattern across multiple games of the way in which he dies first blood relative to his skill. That is very sus. And then you can, you know, you can cut some slack for that as well. He could have had a bad day. He could have been distracted, whatever it is. But then with all the additional stuff being connected with it, right? With logs, with all the stories, at some point it just becomes overwhelmingly likely that it did happen. And it sucks. And for me, I think one of the really important takeaways from this story that I hope people realize about this is that I still believe that he, before all of this, Tyga always gave me really good vibes as a person. I genuinely think he was a good guy that got caught up in some really bad shit and got desperate to try to fix his situation. And this is how dangerous addiction can get, whether it's with drugs or with alcohol, or in this case, betting, many people think betting is the worst addiction of them all because of how it completely overtakes your life. And you know, I'm not here to judge which one is worse, but just I would like that to be what people remember from this rather than the specific person it happened to, is that this can happen to anyone, even at the high level of success. This guy won a major, you know, like he is one of the best players in this game in his role that has played it. Like getting that kind of result, you have to be extremely good. And he fell into a bad place and he could not recover it. So if somebody that's that successful in his field and has plenty of years in front of him can lose it all like this within essentially a year, because he started gambling in October 2022. He lost, according to his own words, basically everything he owned, he would have lost within a year. That's fucking scary, you know? Like, if you can't moderate yourself, if you can't, you know, balance it, then this kind of stuff can get really fucking scary. So, and to make matters worse, it's one thing if you have trouble with handling losses or whatever, but if you then get involved, like all of this is about how he got involved with the 322 Mafia, as it's called, like essentially a network of people that are trying to match fix and influence players to throw games and whatnot. Essentially, I believe most of it is operating out of Eastern Europe. It's just a bad cocktail, you know? So it really fucking sucks. And as usual, like I said last time, I really hope things get better for Taiga. And I do that regardless of, you know, despite this being extremely sad and really bad for the competitive integrity, I don't want the guy to, you know, get completely fucked. And I hope he can recover his life, because this sounds really bad. Like, I'm not laying it on thick here. This sounds like a guy who lost everything he had on an addiction.
It's definitely
such a sad story.
It's honestly a cautionary tale. You mentioned it, but betting, like, I know you like to bet. I am not somebody that bets on anything. I don't care if other people do. Obviously, I can use our platform.
Just to clarify, I do not bet on anything with Dota.
Sorry.
I want to make that very clear. Like, this is an ethical thing where I think it could be fun, but when it comes to this game, for me, I stay completely away from betting on anything Dota related because it's
all right. When I say too much
potential conflict of interest,
let me rephrase.
Okay,
again. You like gambling, like with poker and things like that.
Yeah, I like the concept of it, and I think it's fun.
I have never been able to relate with the idea that is like maybe if it's $10, like even with $10, I don't care. I don't know why. I've just never been that person. But I know people that have struggled with this kind of thing. And it's fucking scary, like you said, especially with, I'm not going to say betting is unregulated online, but compared to other places like Vegas, for example, it is very unregulated just by comparison. And the fact that people under 21 are able to do so relatively easily is also crazy. And there's also things like loot boxes, which you could argue is gambling. And some countries have enforced like Valve to be able to do stuff. All of this comes together it creates like this culture.
Right. I don't think you need to argue. I think it just is. And I think that's the way you should be looking at it. It is gambling.
But yeah, I sympathize. Obviously, I can't relate. I don't understand it. But I can understand from one perspective that this thing, it snowballs really fucking hard. So if you guys are going to bet on stuff, which again, I don't care if people do it. Obviously not to like throw games and stuff. Like the players and casters and everybody involved in this thing should not. But viewers, do whatever the hell you want, but be responsible. Don't go too ham. Yeah. Like it's really bad when it gets to this point. I feel terrible for Taiga.
And to elaborate a little bit, I think for me, fundamentally, when it comes to gambling, there's a difference between gambling where you feel like you can have an edge and gambling where there's absolutely no way you do, right? So for example, if you go and play roulette or blackjack, you know you're unfavored. Mm. So you're paying a fee to have fun. And if it goes well, that's awesome. If it doesn't, then you knew you were never a favorite to begin with. The thing that can be tricky with sports betting is that, let's say Taiga, for example, the way I'm reading it and understanding it is I think to begin with, he got into sports betting without being involved with anything shady, right? I think he just thought, hey, it could be funny to bet on some sports. And the thing that's tricky is you might think that you can beat the house because it's a lot more, how to say, it's not defined. The outcome is not mathematical in the same way With roulette, the odds are always the same. Like you throw the what's it called? The marble, and you have 49% return on investment or whatever, or at 98. So you would lose a little bit every time on average.
Mm.
But with sports betting, the house sets some odds, and if you think you're smarter than them, which I genuinely think a lot of people in Dota could be smarter than the house potentially in some aspects of betting. And you think someone like Taiga, I don't know if he started out betting on Dota or if he started out betting on football or if he started out betting on Counter-Strike or whatever. But if it's something you feel like you're very knowledgeable about, you can easily fall into this trap of thinking, I know better than the house. And there are people that can do that. It's very hard, but it's possible. But most people lose. That's why the industry works, right? Is that it makes money.
Yep.
So from his perspective, I think this... He might have started out thinking he could, and then he started getting more and more confident or more and more desperate to win back his losses. And then he probably placed a couple of really big bets and lost those. And then it starts getting really scary, right?
Mm.
So I think it's always a healthy mindset to have when you do anything of this sort is that you should be willing. If you lose everything you bet, it should not ruin your life. That's basically the number one guideline. Don't play money you can't afford to lose. And if you are unlucky and you lose a lot, that sucks, but you went in with the expectation that that could happen, and then that's it, right? He just kept digging the hole deeper and deeper, and that's the addiction part, is if you lose control and you get caught in that.
So
for me, I just want to quickly, I know this is taking a while, but it's something I'm quite, I don't want to say passionate about, but it's something I've thought about a lot is, so for me personally, the picture you painted with me, like liking gambling or whatever, I like basically all the money I have spent on this has been poker. And the reason has been that game has a skill element. You can improve and you can get an edge over other players. The gambling that I've never played roulette in my life, for example, like it just doesn't appeal to me because I'm just going in to burn money. Like I can't win, right?
Mm.
On average, there are games where you can win if you're better. I've played a bit of blackjack on a cruise at some point. The edge is minimal. And it was with the I'm going in to play and have fun. You know, I was expecting to lose, but I wanted to have some fun. That's fine. But you can't like be a professional roulette player. It doesn't fucking exist, you know.
Mm. If you're a psychic, though.
Sure. So I think it's very important to categorize things correctly where, yes, there is a clear gambling element to poker, but over a long stretch, if you're good, you can win. There are games that over a long stretch, you always lose, which is like slots, roulette, etc. So there's a difference. But at the end of the day, this is about a guy who...
So
he could have been caught in anything, right? This could have been any sort of gambling. It was the...
Yeah. Oh, it makes it worse that it's gambling on stuff that he's involved in, which means he might get banned. Do you expect him to get banned, by the way?
Yeah, I think so.
And even if he wasn't, mm-hmm. I wonder who would play with him knowing this. Yeah. I know, like over time, like let's just say there's no repercussions right now, right? Over time, mm-hmm. like we saw it with Solo, people will play with you eventually. But like the short term, that's going to be hard to even find anybody anyway. So might have to turn to streaming.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like the Solo thing is such a special example because everyone, it feels like at least the scene and Valve cut him slack because it was undefined. He's literally the only player who did something of the sort and did not get permabanned.
And it was for... arguably kind of low amount of money when you think about it.
I mean, compared to what he was playing for, it was irrelevant, right? Like it's, I don't remember. I think so. The bet was $100 and he could win 322, right? That's why the meme number of 322, that's where the whole story comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way he did it was that his girlfriend placed the money on the bet or something, but it was traced back to him or whatever. Like, So it wasn't like he was doing it completely, obviously. So clearly there was some... He had some feeling that it probably wasn't right what he was doing anyway, but it wasn't really, you know, strictly explained that you couldn't do it. But yeah, I mean, obviously. You think about it for a second, you realize it's fucking bad.
The precedent was set by him, right? So yes. I agree. I think he will get... again, this, it does look compelling, the evidence, but Valve will look into it, I'm sure, and I do expect it to happen.
Has there been any player that you can remember that was banned by Valve that afterwards was able to play with a team outside of the Valve circuit?
Smash.
Did he play with teams following it and just not play DPC?
Yes.
Okay, because I don't remember, but it's also, we're obviously going to be biased towards the tournaments that we cast and watch, right? Which is a lot of primarily tier one stuff.
Smash was also an exception because at the time he was arguably the best player in entire South America.
Yeah, he was.
And he was very popular. It was like the Dendy of South America for the time, I think. So teams were willing to look the other way. Obviously, he could only participate in certain tournaments.
We've lost some crazy talent. And it's so sad when you think about it that I remember when we talked about Smash, it was, I think he didn't have much money. You know, he had to pay rent. His perspective was very different to that of Taiga, who definitely wasn't struggling with money with how things were going, right?
Yeah.
In his career, he should have been completely fine. For Smash, the perspective to throw back then was probably, okay, I need to pay rent so I can keep playing Dota. How do I make money, right?
Yeah.
And I can understand, I can empathize with that position. I don't agree with the action, but I can empathize with that being really difficult. The thing that's so sad in his example and a couple of others, we've lost some potentially almost generational talent to this.
Mm.
I think Smash had the potential to be the best player of all time from his region. And the other player that I remember very clearly is DDZ. I don't know if you remember him.
Sounds familiar.
From SCA. That guy was insane on Invoker, for example. He was a godly mid. And he had a breakout tournament at TI. They didn't play super high, but he looked so good that I was like, this guy is going to be, you know, one of the big new stars from that region. And then I saw that he got banned. And I was like, man, you just fucking ruined the opportunity of a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it's really fucking sad. I don't know. Let's move on.
All right. We will move on indeed.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
The next thing on the list is this the right one? Yes. So here we go. Sorry, the ESL update. So
OG is just involved in everything. I mean,
despite extending the visa deadline to 12 o'clock CEST yesterday for all teams, this is an ESL tweet, if I didn't mention that. One Win were unable to field an eligible roster in time for ESL One Birmingham 2024 due to visa issues. The next Eastern European team in the qualifiers for the slot are also unable to attend for similar reasons. The next eligible team to be invited will be OG, which came in second at the Western EU qualifiers and have already confirmed their ability to enter the UK. So we've had these visa issues in the past, of course. Then there was a post, which I'm going to show here. It was deleted by basically Team One Win posted something on Reddit that got absolutely shit on. Essentially, it's like it wasn't really trying to explain their situation. They were kind of just flaming ESL, if I remember correctly. It was more like they didn't give us any time, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Like we were able to get the visas like a day after the deadline or something like that. And then obviously the tweet from ESL basically saying that we did extend the deadline that we originally gave and all that good stuff. And then One Win come out with a better post, which I'll show now, essentially saying that overall it wasn't really enough time. And the deadline was during a weekend, which you literally can't do anything to be able to get a visa anyway. So it feels like it's definitely less black and white than originally sought out or originally thought to be. So what's your take on this?
Yeah, so this is just a really shit situation all around, right? So you're playing from a region that right now in the geopolitical situation will struggle to get visas. So it's a quite elaborate process and it takes time. From what I can see, and obviously this is just their wording, right? I'm going to, let's at least for now entertain the idea that everything written in this post is true. Then it sounds like OneWin, for the most part at least, did a pretty admirable job in trying to get these visas on time, but things can take quite a while in that regard. ESL recognized that, okay, they are probably not going to make it. We can stretch the leash this far and no more. So we will give you guys an extension. And yes, the extension is across a weekend, but you have to look at it from the perspective of ESL of they need to have a guarantee for the teams participating in advance. They can't just stretch the leash until 2 days before the tournament, because then what if they don't get the visas? Then you have 2 days to get in a replacement team, and that's too short notice. So, you know, you kind of have to draw the line somewhere. The thing that makes this so unfortunate is that the leash that they were able to give, as you said, was across a weekend, which is not great for going to the consulate for the Russian team. And on top of that, when they finally do ultimately disqualify them from participation because they're too late, they obtain the visas literally 2 hours after.
Oh,
you know, wow. They have them in hand. They're ready to prove to ESL, we have them, we're ready to go. But the problem is, at that point, they have already invited OG. So now, as ESL, you're kind of stuck with two options. You go takesy-backsies to OG, which I think you just kind of can't. You know, they've might have already put things in motion to go. They might have already invested stuff in it, whatnot. And so I would say that one you don't do. You could expand the team pool by one and have one more team play, but that can cause some major logistical issues with the duration of group stages and whatnot. Or it's just like, it just fucking sucks for OneWin, right? But at the end of the day, ESL did give them an olive branch of an extra 3 days and they didn't make it in time. This would have been way less drama if they were like 2 days late on their visa, right?
Yes.
It's just because it's like so fucking close and they just missed the window. But like, what do you do, right?
Well, I'm going to put the hat on of a tournament org, since I've done that in the past. We both have, I guess.
Right.
I think you uninvite OG. I mean, it's too late now, but if they notify you 2 hours after you've invited OG, you have not bought flights for OG yet. OG, I'm sure, once uninvited, like, oh, okay, I understand. They're not going to be that upset, surely. Like, that's the issue I have, is that, yes, they didn't have to do the deadline. The deadline shouldn't be during the weekend anyway. Let's be real. That's kind of dumb.
It wasn't. I think it was on a Monday. But that means that the weekend is a big part of the extension that they got, right?
Oh, I see. Which okay. They can't really I take use. That back then. But if it's 2 hours later, like, how bad would it have been to uninvite OG? Like, honestly. Is it really that bad? They didn't qualify for the tournament. I don't think it's that bad.
I don't know. Maybe it's the lesser evil. The way I see it is that it's pretty fucked up to announce
it's
a team that
bad.
They're invited. And then you...
I agree. It's bad either way. I agree. Yeah. I personally think that that's less bad, though.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say it was like a much smaller, or let's say it was Entity, for example, just as a random example. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You think that that changes things, because OG has a lot of fans that would have been really upset, sure. Right? Surely that has some bearing on the situation, on the call here.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that's just pure guess. That's a pure guessing game for me. Like, I have absolutely no clue how much that matters. I don't know how it works internally with them organizing this stuff. So I'm not gonna, you know, throw anyone under the bus is the wrong term. But I'm not gonna paint them in a bad light because I genuinely don't know. You're right. It could play a role. Like, let's say the replacement team was a tier two Eastern European team in this qualifier that got second behind OneWin that was just having an amazing run, and people don't really know them. They don't have a big fan base and whatnot. I will say, as usual, from an ideological standpoint, I think it's irrelevant how big the team is for
this
kind of stuff. So
that's not the real world, right?
That's not the real world, but that's how, you know, ideologically, that's how it should be. It's like, you're qualified, congratulations, and this is how it works. Now, I think it's important in ESL's tweet as well. This is an important detail, I think, that they did try to invite another Eastern European team first from the qualifier. But they obviously, it's going to be hard for them to obtain visas just in the same fashion that it was for this team, right? So it's not like ESL where like, oh, thank fuck, there's an Eastern European that can't make it, so now we can get OG, right? It's like, obviously for viewership, it's good for them to have a big org there that has a lot of fans, but this doesn't feel like ESL were just trying to be facetious and just, you know, so, exploit the situation, yeah, essentially.
I'll clarify. I don't think the call they made is that mind-bogglingly weird. I think it's a shit situation regardless. Yeah. I'm just saying I personally think that the scenario I brought up is the lesser of two evils. But right. I can totally get, like, it's fucking OG. They have a ton of fans. You're going to get shit on so hard after announcing something like that 2 hours later to take it back. I understand, but I do think that would have been the right call.
It's funny because this kind of plays into something we've talked about before, right? With like force majeure, or how much leash do you give people when things happen, right? Because technically speaking, ESL just followed the rules, right? And we've had discussions of this in the past where teams got a def loss on a game because of power outage or because of a you know, literal natural disaster in their home country or whatever. And we're like, should you in these cases not give them a def loss? Sure, you are just following the rule book. They weren't able to field their team, but like, come on, you know. This is kind of similar, where it's like you have at this point exhausted the time limit that you were given, but it is a pretty special situation with everything that's going on in the world. Should you cut them some slack? So at this point, it's kind of like, I can't say that what ESL did was wrong or right. But it's about, again, like you said, do people put most stock into following the rules strictly to the book, or looking at, you know, a little bit of external factors the grace?
I know where you priced. I mean, yeah, for me, context always matters. I never believe that anything is black and white. I never believe everything should be followed to the T. I think that's, personally, I think that's a very dumb way to live life. But I know that other people will disagree, and that's fine. I think context is everything.
Right. I agree with that.
Anyway, it's just shit, though. So, very unfortunate. But
it is
OG
really shit.
Will be fun to watch. I mean, I'm a huge fan of OG, so it's not like I'm upset that they'll be at the tournament. It's just a shame for one win, because they are the ones that qualified.
And I just hope, you know, the thing that would be the worst in all of this is, let's say this is the state of affairs and one win don't get to go and it's a done deal, and that fucking sucks. It really sucks extra much if this was their like big break, you know, and they didn't get the chance, because it's a tough region they're playing out of. Qualifying for future tournaments is not going to be easy, and this was a big one.
Yeah.
So I really hope this isn't going to just break the team's morale and they don't get another chance, because this is the kind of team that it's very easy to cheer for if they make another big tournament, right? Because you just know how bad they want it, and this would have been a good chance. So fingers crossed that they do well in the future qualifiers, for me at least.
Agreed. Okay, so this one you added to the docket. Slay the Spire 2 has a reveal trailer. I'll play it in the background without sound. Don't worry, audio listeners. Mm-hmm. You can talk about it, Sindarin.
Yeah, so this just came out. This video came out of nowhere 16 hours ago. And it's just a quick teaser. It's like a 45-second video of just essentially teasing the three, I would assume, the three main characters that you can play. You've played quite a bit of the first Slay the Spire, I believe, right?
Yeah, that's a decent amount. Yep.
Yeah, so if you guys don't know, it's a deck-building game. It's kind of, I would say it's, in as far as online card building games, it's kind of been genre defining almost. This was a massive success for an indie game. One of, in recent memory for me, one of the biggest success stories out of any indie game. Just grew massively big. And this goes to show as well, this is an indie game, and this teaser has 360,000 views within 24 hours.
300 thick views? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, they're really thick. So 360,000 views within 16 hours. Goes to show how much hype and expectation there is around this game for a follow-up to an indie game. So the first game was really popular. I think it was like $20. And I think I also had it in my recommendation list, if I remember correctly. It's been one of the Sindarin recommends, I think. So I would definitely say, if you guys are interested at all in card games and especially deck building games, this is probably a must buy when it comes out. And the teaser says that the early access will be 2025. So this is quite far away, but they want to build hype around it. And this feels like This is the kind of game where I'm not particularly worried about early access compared to a lot of other titles, because we've talked about this in the past. I prefer if games take the time they take to finish and they come out. This is not a studio that should be starved for money because of how successful their first game was. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to have the luxury of taking the time to make this really good. And it's not a game where I would be worried, okay, if I buy early access, they're going to cancel development after 3 months and they don't have money. I don't see that happening unless they got really surprised. Deep into sports betting or something.
That's too soon. I was surprised that it said 2025. And I was wondering when a sequel would actually come out, because this, what I thought was a sequel originally was the, I forget what it's called, but community made like another character that has like a sniper guy that's like its own mode that I've played a bit. But then I was reminded that they actually switched from Unity when all that drama went down with the Unity CEO and all. I think it was the ex-Disney CEO or whatever the fuck it was. So they actually switched engines completely, which means, for the most part, they have to start from scratch again, which is crazy. So that's that definitely reminded me that's why this is taking longer than I was anticipating. And then on the screen, you can see the three characters that they're showcasing. The first two are in the original game. I don't remember the names of them. Do you?
Oh, it's been a while since I've played this game.
The first one is like the warrior-looking person, has gold armor and red eyes. It's like the first character you unlock, or the first character the game comes with. And the second one is the second character you unlock, which is the green cloak and
poison.
Yeah, the poison character. And the third character looks brand new. It's a skeleton with a scythe. It's like a reaper, like a reaper scythe.
Yeah, it looks like the reaper, right? Just in.
So that's cool that there's another character that's new. Makes me a little... I mean, maybe they'll add him still. The guy that has the orbs, that was my favorite character. I thought he was really cool. Very well designed. And then the TA character, I was personally not a fan of that play style. Very too complicated for me, Sindarin.
Was that the fourth character?
That was the last one you unlock, I think.
I think that was added after I played the game, actually. Mm. So I haven't tried it. Maybe I should go back and play this game at some point.
Yeah, you should. Why not?
It was very good. Yeah.
So that's Slay the Spire 2.
Yeah. So that add that to the pile of anticipated games.
Yeah, Relic Arena is on the top of your list, though, right?
So, yeah, Relic Arena, Slay the Spire 2, and of course, Hollow Knight Silksong, which has been number one on my list for a long time, but then Relic Arena was announced, so now it's number two on my list.
That's my boy right there.
Yeah.
Get you a beta key.
Hell yeah.
All right. Next thing on the list is the most important topic of this week. Gaben is skinny, Sindarin.
Hades 2, lest we forget. Sorry, Hades 2. We just had to mention Hades 2. Shout out to Hades.
You just ruined Gaben, his intro.
No. Don't worry. We can look at this for a while. I'm actually just talking about other stuff so Gaben stays on screen longer.
So Gaben, I actually forgot what this was for. He founded a new company. What are they for again?
I think they're making it some sort of chip implants. So potentially great, potentially extremely dystopian, I believe.
Wait,
it is.
Is it chip implants? Is that true, Chad?
I think so. Did I misunderstand?
That's very Elon type. I thought it was something else. I guess I could be wrong.
I thought it was some sort of...
Their site was kind of vague, so you might be right then. It's quite vague. But anyway, regardless of what the reason is, his picture is up on the site, and he is legitimately skinny. He's lost like all his weight. It's crazy. And of course, the top comment at the time was, this is what removing Battle Pass did for Dota. He's got to eat.
I think in the Battle Pass's development history, Gabe was putting in tons of hours. I'm sure that is definitely
that was his number one priority.
He was sitting there programming the Battle Pass for you guys. It's very telling. So obviously, I mean, this picture is cropped, right? It's incredible what it does.
It doesn't show his enormous nutsack that he has.
Yeah, exactly. it really he definitely looks a lot healthier. So good for him. And yeah, it's crazy how telling it is on the in the face when people have lost a lot of weight. He looks he looks much better. So that's awesome. And it's really cool if it's a weight loss inspiration for people, right? Like sometimes seeing someone you look up to or whatever can be that push.
I'm next, Sundaren. I'm next.
When you see the result. Yeah, you're inspired by Gabe, I'm sure.
Yes. So
you're like, I also want a yacht. If I lose some pounds, I'll get a yacht.
I get seasick, so it's got to be a really big yacht. Really big.
You can sell it and buy a really nice fleet of cars instead.
I'd rather have the yacht, probably.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations to Gaben. We love you, as always. Next on the list is Ability Arena. So I talked about this last week, Cinderman, that we have come to a partnership with Gaiman.
Mm-hmm.
And if you install their app, you get Plus now, which includes half of the gods, and it's free. And the other half of the gods are free normally now. And we are now announcing the monthly tournament is beginning. So this one will be 2 days, as it always is, April 13th and 14th. If you want to sign up for the $1,000 tournament, I'll put the link in the description of the YouTube video. And yeah, anybody that wants to sign up can. You will be required to have Plus. That's a way for us to keep track. And it puts everybody on the same playing level as well, because we want everybody to have the gods. So,
right.
Yeah, so sign up, use the link in the description, and Jenkins and I will be streaming on those 2 days. And yeah, should be good.
So if people are coming back to play this tournament, what's the version, so to speak? Like how much has the game changed in the last 3 months?
It hasn't. It hasn't.
Okay. So if people quit around the time that you lost monetization on the store, this is roughly the version that it still is.
Roughly. We added a god, Wraith King, that was just nerfed because he was too OP and annoying. And that's pretty much it. But there will be some balance changes. I'm leaving it up to somebody else and Jenkins, so that's a little scary. But I don't know if that's going to be before the tournament. I personally don't care. Like, I know some people care about the competitive integrity. It's a custom game. I think we should come out with the patch, but we'll see. Obviously have to be careful with like crashing and bugs and stuff. So
yeah, but now, just the numbers, arcade has been really stable in general. I think you can easily patch your game.
Don't get me started. Every day I look at the top 10 list of most games played and they are all monetized still. Like, what the fuck, Valve? What the fucking fuck? And the final topic of this evening.
You should write to Gabe. He might be in a good mood because of his weight loss. He might be like, yeah, you guys can monetize your game again. I talked to some lawyers. I gave them a yacht.
Yeah.
And now you can...
Pass. I'm done talking to them about fucking custom games. That is why we're making a brand new game. I don't have to worry about Valve anymore. Final topic of this evening, Mr. Cinderman. Dune 2.
Oh,
I saw it a couple weeks ago, so it's not like this is brand new, but I did want to give my review on it. Have you taken?
I have not, but I was seeing some friends this weekend, and they wanted to go watch Dune 2, and I think we would have gone to watch it if all of us had watched the first one, but two of us hadn't. It was four of us having a Baldur's Gate 3 LAN, a great time, of course.
God, you are a fucking nerd. Go ahead.
Yeah, we finished the game then, so... Don't worry, now I'm no longer a nerd. My weight loss arc.
Have you seen the original Dune? Or not original.
I have not. So
my God, what is wrong with you? Are you a human being? Christ. Yes. No, you're not. That's not normal.
No, the thing that was really nice about this gathering of people was that I was not the only one who hadn't watched it. So
don't worry, there won't be.
That makes it less weird that I haven't seen it, Shannon. No, I just want you to know I'm not the only person in the world that has not watched this movie.
All right, first of all,
at least one other person.
I will not be spoiling anything in my review. It's going to be very vague, so you don't have to do it. But that just means your friends are just as weird as you. So
I'm reading your chat. Literally everyone says, I haven't watched it either.
Literally everyone.
Yeah.
Here's
a comment from MickQSQQ, it is normal. I haven't seen it too. And there's plenty of others, but they got timed out.
All right. Yeah, fucking right. Get off your ass and watch Dune, okay?
Okay, it's what I was going to say was we would have probably gone to watch it, but the other two recommended. They said this is the kind of movie where you need to see first one before the second.
God, what? Of course. Okay. It's two. Literally, it says it in the title. Would you watch Lord of the Rings, the third Lord of the Rings, before the first two? What the fuck?
There's other movies where the second movie is not a direct sequel, where it's just more in the same, you know, universe, that you can watch it as a standalone, right?
It says it part two.
It sounded like it is not the case with this movie. There are other movies where you can watch number two.
That's
you
right.
You know what I mean.
I do, and they're all garbage, normally.
But no, I mean, it's just sometimes the second movie in a series is not a sequel, but it's just a second story. This one was the same narrative, so continued.
To be clear, because there's confusion in the chat, I am not talking about the original old-school Dune from the, what was it, the 80s or 90s? Talking about the one that came out 2 years ago, part one, Dune.
Right.
This is part two. Anyway. Okay.
Did you read the books?
No, I have not read the books.
Wow, you are such a fake fan. Go on.
It's not the same at all. Okay, I'm going to give my review.
I heard the books
are better.
Why don't you read the book, Shannon?
That's the case really for good. Every movie / TV show, pretty much.
It's fine. Yeah.
So... I'm going to give my review.
Go on about your great second Dune.
I'm going to give my review without spoiling anything. Obviously, I loved the first part one of Dune. It was one of the best movies in recent memory that I've seen, for sure. Part two has gotten, to my knowledge, I actually haven't looked at the Rotten Tomatoes or anything, but based on just people social media and whatnot, people have liked part two more than part one. So I thought part two was very fucking good, but I like part one more, and I'll tell you why. And again, it's not like this is spoilers. Part one was kind of slow and lore building. It was fat. I love that shit so much. Part two, some of the parts in the movie felt a little rushed. They could definitely have made three movies out of this, 100%. It felt like it was two movies in one, which it was still really fucking good, but I prefer it to be, you know, a little bit more even in terms of the pacing. But either way, it's incredible movie, and one main complaint that I have with it, which was in the trailers, so it is not a spoiler, it's basically just an actor that they picked to play, okay? This is not a spoiler. The Emperor, which they showed in the trailer... is fucking Christopher Walken. Why? Why in God's fucking... This is one of the worst casting decisions of all time. It just takes me at like this, such an epic sci-fi movie, and then fucking Christopher Walken shows his face with his very... it's not like I'd even dislike Christopher Walken, but he's like in comedies most of the time. His voice, he has no acting range. His voice is extremely, It's a weird voice. The way he talks is really weird.
So how did he do?
Not well, because it's Christopher Walken. He can only play one character.
You're going to go in with the expectation that he sucks.
They have everything
that surprises you. He delivered to expectations.
They have for you amazing acting. They have unbelievable effects. The sound design is probably the best of any movie I've ever seen, by the way, which is another reason that you... See, seeing the theater is really important for that, I believe. They pick him as the emperor. Like, why? Why? I haven't seen anybody else complain about this, which makes me feel like I'm living in an alternate universe. Like, what the fuck? It's like he picked Adam kind of Sandler funny. To be the emperor of Dune. Why?
I don't think that's the same. But the thing that's funny is, like you said, a lot of people think this movie is better. And ironically, they all think it's better because of Christopher Walken. That's why they think this was better than the first
one. I will say most people in this is just confirmation bias maybe. Most people like Dune 2 more than 1 because there's more action, generally. Like, even my mom, she didn't like Dune 1 because she didn't understand it. She doesn't really understand sci-fi. But Dune 2, there's a lot more action. So she, cooler to watch, I guess.
It was nice she came along to watch the second one when she didn't like the first one.
Luckily, though, Christopher Walken did not ruin the movie completely. Mm-hmm. Just the scenes that he was in. Dune, they're going to be making more Dunes, apparently, because there's a shit ton of books, I guess. There's a lot of source material, which is really exciting.
but I'm trying to think of the, what are the biggest sci-fi movies, sci-fi fantasy in recent memory, like the last 10 years? Because this, in terms of like...
I mean, there's been a couple of more Star Wars made, right? Like standalone movies, but...
Yeah, those are garbage.
Yeah, well, that's the biggest brand that still like makes sci-fi.
At least in the last decade, maybe more. Like, maybe I'm not ready to say this yet. Maybe I am, because Lord of the Rings is S tier. This is maybe the best of that type of genre since Lord of the Rings, maybe. Maybe. I'd have to think a bit more. But it's fucking S tier. Highly recommend.
It's funny that you mentioned Lord of the Rings, because that was actually where my mind went immediately when you told me why you liked the first one more. Because I've had this conversation with different people about, you know, it's a classic thing. Which one's your favorite Lord of the Rings movie, blah, blah, blah. Mm. I loved the first one for the exact same reason that you loved the first Dune. And it was why I think Lord of the Rings 2 was the worst, is because it had a 45-minute fight sequence in Helm's Deep that everybody else seemed to love. And I was like, why wasn't that 5 minutes or 10?
Right.
I was just like, all of this time that they spent on this long fighting sequence with a couple of, you know, like kind of funny, kind of cringy dialogue that doesn't fucking make sense in a war scene. It's like, this could have been spent on building the universe and on including Tom Bombadil, for example, or something, right? That was cut out entirely from the movies. So it's like, yeah, that aspect of movies, I feel like, is a little bit underrated, and people might actually enjoy it more than they think they do, because the action is generally what gets talked about the most, all this hype scene or whatever, but the whole atmosphere of building the universe, I think, is really valuable, and I loved that in the first Lord of the Rings. So
yeah, I would say
it sounds like we share that sentiment.
The universe building in this in these movies was amazing. And people are mentioning other movies that were really good. Like, I mean, I've mentioned Interstellar is my favorite movie of all time. That doesn't count as one of those movies, because it's a single movie. It's not like this entire universe that you're going to be making a bunch. It's like Harry Potter series, right? I'm not saying those are good, but just as an example, Lord of the Rings, like Back to the Future, stuff like that. Those are, you know, foundational series. And right. I think Dune is now in the category with close to Lord of the Rings. It's so fucking S tier. It's unbelievable.
I have to watch this one.
You obviously need to watch Dune 1, but I think it's important while it's in the theaters. I think you're going to regret not seeing it in the theaters, because the sound is the best of any movie I've ever seen, easily. Like, normally, I'm not big into sound. I know you're big into like the voice acting and Dota and all that. And, like, I think it's cool and all. It's not that important to me. This is the first movie I've been in that I've been blown away by the sound. Like, generally, I'm pretty apathetic towards it.
It was so loud.
It's not about it being loud. It's about...
you got blown away.
Blown away, non-literally.
It was a pretty bad joke.
But it has like Middle Eastern vibes, like with the music, and just unbelievable. Go see this fucking movie, idiot. Part one, though.
All right, read the book.
Maybe I will. I'm currently reading Three Body Problem, which is actually pretty good so far.
Wait, that was the one you talked about last episode? Or was it the one before?
Yeah, something like that.
Right. And that was the one that was, is it Chinese?
Yeah, it was translated. I actually took a picture. I'm not going to lie, Sindarin. I was reading this book in bed, and I started laughing out loud. Because obviously the translation is actually really good. And the thing that with Three Body Problem, obviously I've never read a book that's been translated from Chinese. The names are very similar. As an American, the names are very similar, and you get characters confused a lot. So that's the thing that's been hardest to overcome. Mm-hmm. This is from the book, okay?
Okay.
This is not a spoiler. Dr. Ding, would you please show Yang Dong's note to Professor Wang? Hers is the shortest and possibly the most representative. I was laughing out loud at that one. I'm not going to lie. That really tickled me. And I am very immature, but it was fucking good.
It genuinely almost sounds like the translator was trying to make this innuendo. Like,
but the book is actually, I mean, I find it fascinating because it has like these little notes from the translator about like explaining certain things that maybe are not obvious to like somebody that's reading from the Western scene.
That's nice. That's very good.
It's really cool. It gives a lot of context, and I'm only like 25% of the way of the first book, but it's very good so far. I like it. Nice. Okay. I think that does it for this episode of We Say Things. Thank you for watching, everybody. Yes.
until next time, hopefully Cinderin will have watched Dune by then.
Yeah,
we'll see ya.
I will promise that's not happened. Bye.
Next week, we'll be doing predictions for Birmingham.
Yep.
And then we'll be going there. So
yep.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
We say things that don't mean anything.
Subscribe.
But thanks for listening.